Go and pray for us and open the service, if you
would. Which one? The
one, the one that's got all the spare words.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you, Father, for this time set aside with you. Time set aside from the world, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just put a shelter around us, Lord. Let us have a good time with you, Father. Let Holy Spirit be upon each one of us, Lord, as we offer tithes and offerings and sing and songs and praise to you, Lord, and give you the glory of one you deserve. And Lord, that you'll be with Pastor Mark as he gives us a sermon tonight as well, that your word will reach into each one of us. And we take it along with us, Lord, and we just apply it to our lives if we can. Please guide us and help us in these times, in these the end of days. Lord, we ask, Lord, if you will, you deem us worthy, although I know we're not, that you would just let us be a light for you in this world. Let us not be the chaff, let us be the wheat. Let us bear fruit for you, Lord. Let us be labourers, Father. Give us the boldness and the meekness to speak your word at the right time. To those who we love and for those who need to see you, Lord, as we see you. Please, Lord, save souls this day, this week. I ask too, Lord, that you bless Israel, your children as well, Father. That you grant peace unto Jerusalem. Lord, that you pray in our heart's desire to pray that your children get saved. I ask too, Lord, for a blessing on our world leaders, Lord, for common sense, Lord, in each to one. Lord, to do the right thing, not what they want, but what they need to for the peoples. And Lord, that one day, Lord, would all be, all countries will put you first again like they used to. Especially England, especially America as well. Lord, please just, let's be Christian countries again. Well, I ask, Lord, for a blessing on the family of us, that tragic thing, Lord, that wee David was killed by his mother. And Lord, for the child that's in, or other children, Lord, that's in the ICU. Lord, that you be with us, Lord. Father, please, be merciful, Lord, and peace of mind to those who need to pick up the pieces for this little one. To do the right thing, Lord. That you will be done with, Father. Lord, bless the NHS workers, Lord, and bless also the people who go out on the front line, the military, and whatever, give the vaccines, and all the others, Lord. Grant them needs according to their will, Father, to do what's right for the people, Lord. Let there be a healing in the land, Lord, instead of more deaths. Please, Father. Lord, I ask too, Lord, if you will, to start. Put in the hearts and minds of all those who have taken drugs, drinking underage, all the spirit, there's a spirit of badness, Lord. Put a stumble before it, Lord. Just to help show them another way of life that is you. Lord, that you know that, especially with the suicides, that's concerned. Father, please, Lord, save souls. Again, I ask you, Lord. Be with each one of us now, Lord. Please, just show us the way that you want us to do, and where to go, and what to say. In your precious, precious name, Lord. And for all those I forgot to mention, Lord, bless those, especially the brethren, who are not here with us this night. Bless them, comfort them, strengthen them, Lord. Whether it be physical or spiritual. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. All right. Well, we'll do number one on the medium-sized black book, How Great Thou Art, by popular request. Thou art, how great thou art. sings, my soul, my Savior, God to thee. Take your big hymn books and turn to 137. 137 in the big books. That is in times like these. Times like these. And if you're fit, stand, and if you're not, well, just remain seated as long as you make a joyful noise. In times like these, you need the Savior. In times like these, you need a anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. In times like these, you need the Bible.
This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. You may be seated. Norman, if you're fit to bring us the reading, you come on ahead, brother.
This evening's reading is from the book of James, James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he hath wavered is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is an evil in all his ways. Yet the brother of low degree rejoices in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he made low, because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, the grace, the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall a rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift that And every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, and we should be a kind first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, enough naughtiness, and receive the meekness of the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearing only, deceiving your own selves. For any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he that beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the works, which man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen.
A lot of good words in the Bible there, James. I appreciate that. Thank you for the pick and thank you for the reading. Just want to remind everybody about the wee green prayer list, and if anybody has anything they would like to add to what's already there, or even to take off things that have been finished with, we would certainly appreciate your input there. I didn't hear anything else about the car crash at the road, so I'm assuming nobody was hurt. We never saw any ambulance. Did we even see a police car? But there was definitely fire engines there. So we're assuming it was property only, and I pray that is all that it was. And hopefully we don't hear anything to the contrary.
I spoke to the cleanup crew, and they hadn't been told anyone.
Okay. So anyway, someone's going to have an interesting conversation with their insurance company. But please do pray about that. Steve, you had your hand up there, brother. Is there something you want to share with us?
So I mentioned about these two reagents. The one was murdered, and the one was in ICU. And by the church, God knows the names of the family. Also knows the name of the mother who's been arrested for the murder and the attempted murder of all. I ask the church to pray for them. Pray for the family. And for that child
Yes, indeed. It's a true thing. We live in the days where people don't have any natural love or affection, just like it says in, Second Timothy?
So she was seen loving the children, then she was a natural good family.
Obviously not, but...
Either something snapped or...
Alrighty, please do remember those folks. Dr. Yang, I meant to ask you, was there floods in China?
Yes, in the middle of China,
2 kilometers. Nowhere near your family?
No.
That's good. We're glad to hear that. We're not so glad that there were floods in China, but you know what I mean. I meant to ask you, when I had it written down, and I meant to ask. I know it's a little bit like somebody saying, there was a bomb went off in Northern Ireland and all our foreign relatives ring us and ask if we were hurt in it. And it could be like 80 miles away in Belfast, and I'm sure it's hundreds of miles away from your folks, is it?
Yeah, I think 2,000 miles? Kilometre.
Goodness. So a long ways away. That's okay. All right. Do continue to pray for the floods there and in Europe. And do pray for our own country. It certainly needs it. Do pray for each other. We all have things going on. We miss, of course, Will and Frank and Esther and the McMahons. I was thinking of Leonard there as well. Please do pray for Leonard, and please, of course, pray for Elaine and Hilary. They would be Rita's girls. I say girls, I think they're the same age as me, so you know what I mean. They have their own families, and they're all married with their own families, but please do pray for Elaine and Hilary as well. Is there anything...
Sorry, could you also pray for results for Pat, myself, and Sam, Samantha as well? Yeah. Yeah. No, sorry. My results then, for Samantha's.
Sure thing, not a problem. I appreciate your prayers for my sister-in-law, Nina. She's not out yet, is she? They actually found some gangrene inside of her whenever they were taking out the appendix. So I don't know what happened there, but please do pray for her. I think she was, they had it done keyhole surgery, which means the recovery time was much shortened, and she was hoping to be hopping on a plane and flying up to see her husband and eldest son, I think, tomorrow or Friday, but that is just not to be. However, I have heard amazing things, and whenever I was in hospital, there was a guy in, got his appendix out, and he was for going working at the weekend on a building site. So I don't know what the recovery, maybe I'm just a bit slow on the old recovery phase, but he was for getting out and working at the weekend, but the doctor told him to take it easy for a week. We appreciate your prayers for Nina, and everything went pretty smoothly, but we would appreciate your continuing prayers for her. And we would also appreciate your prayers for Stan. He was supposed to be getting out today. Is he home? Has anybody heard? Is he home yet? Did you hear him?
No, I don't think so. At least I got a picture from Clarence, which I'd say the hospital, but I haven't heard
anything. Okay. He was supposed to be getting home, but he is, as long as he's on the steroids, he's got temporary diabetes, and he's got a 12-week recovery / rehab, rehabilitation of his chest and lungs to look forward to. And it's to keep taking blood thinners and I think possibly antibiotics and not exert himself over much until his lungs really, really recover. So please do continue to pray for Stan at this time, and of course for the rest of the church, because if Stan got it and spread it to the family, there might be somebody else who has it that we don't yet know about. So please do pray for the three Stuarts and their families and James and Jake. I think that's them all, isn't it? So, the three Stuarts, James and Jake, it's interesting times. Please do pray. Just please do pray. And Norman related to me a couple of days back about an old school friend of his and her husband, who both died within 4 days of each other there. Was it just last week?
The wife died on Friday of COVID, and the husband died on Sunday.
What was the family name?
Porter.
That's a whole generation gone in the space of 4 days. So please do pray for the Porter family at this time as well. It's very, very sobering thought. Very sobering thought. Please do pray. Are there any other prayer requests? Any changes to the private prayer requests? I think I've everybody here except for the coolies. What is it? What were you saying, Steve?
The private one. There's no changes to the private.
Good job. Any thanks? Any extra thanks that we don't have already?
All the messages.
We've got that, yes indeed. I think we'll take off the fact that Ling got her pension sorted out. I don't know if she likes to be reminded she's a pensioner. So we'll take that off, Ling.
You don't call me up, sister.
Sorry?
You got old enough for pension.
In 10 and for the age 55.
Huh?
Yeah.
You got more cold enough.
And if I'm not here, I should go a high professional in for the 3 years. Yeah. So I should not be retired until 60.
Right. Right. Well, that's good.
Big retirement party. Noodles all around.
When you invite someone to a party, you're supposed to provide the food, Brother Steve. Anyway. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've been able to spend in your presence and around your word and amongst the brethren. And Lord, just lifting up our praises and prayers. And I pray you, Lord, first of all, that you would look into each one of our hearts and forgive us, Lord, where we failed you. And I pray you, Lord, that you would do the necessary repair work there, the patchwork, the fixing, the bracing, just whatever it is that's required in each one of our hearts and minds, Lord, that you would cleanse us and refresh us, and that you would prop us up and point us in the right direction. And Lord, provide our daily bread this day that we can just keep going. I pray especially, Lord, for, and I hate coming with shopping lists, Lord, but for the floods in China and Europe, Lord, for the disasters that are happening right the way across the world, the famines in around Africa and around the equator, Lord, for the people that, and I think the greatest famine is the famine in the land of the Word of God. And I pray you, Father, for those souls that are literally starving to death and withering away, even as they smile and laugh, I pray you, Lord, please, for a great conviction of sin and judgment to come. Not only that, for a realization of a wonderful Savior. Pray you, Lord, for the saving of souls. Pray you, Lord, for Steve and Sam's test results. We pray you for Esther and her up-and-coming, I think she's an up-and-coming doctor's consultation and whatever else coming up. We pray you, Lord, for some help with that, for Tina. Pray you for Frank, Lord. We miss him, but I pray you just put your good hand upon him. For Will, too. For Mary Ann's up-and-coming surgery, and for Christine and her back, Lord. We pray you, Lord, for the Porter family that Norman brought to our attention. And we pray you, Lord, for the many broken hearts that will be there right now. And I pray you, Lord, that given this opportunity, a soul would be pointed to the foot of the cross. Please. Pray you, Lord, for the leaflets that have gone out, for the words that have been given to souls, for, Lord, for loved ones that we know that really, Lord, need to be saved, for family members that need to be saved too. Lord, you know. And I pray you, Father, please, for your good hand upon them. We pray you for Stuart, for Carol and John and Stephen. We pray you, Lord, for the Robinsons family, the Ho family, the Borland family, and the Edgar family. Pray you for the Lemunyan family as well, for all these souls that have slipped and slid, Lord. We pray you, Father, for your hand upon them in no uncertain terms, and for a restoration to fellowship and to service. Lord, bless our time together. I pray especially, Lord, for the heads that are bowed here, and for strength and wisdom and boldness, and for the recollection of scriptures, and the putting of the pieces together in all of our heads, Lord, please. Well, most importantly, Lord, that your will would be done in our lives. Don't be done with us, Lord, please. Please take this time to minister to us and to work in each one of our hearts and minds. And Lord, through the rest of the singing or the prayers or the preaching of your word, Lord, just whatever, I pray, Lord, your will would be done. Strengthen us and keep us. I pray especially for Brother Stan at this time and for Nina and for their recuperation from their hospital stays and surgeries and treatments. Lord, for Karen and the kids, the Stuarts and James and Jake. Lord, we pray you for health and for, well, Lord, you know. Pray your will be done. Put your good hand upon our leaders, Lord. Convict them greatly and constrain them mightily, Lord. Please bless and keep Israel. And Lord, we ask this and our private prayer requests. And thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just for that open invitation to come into your presence. We thank you for it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take the big hymn books again. And turn, if you would, to hymn number 222. 222. I'm going to say all the twos. I was going to say that would remind you of a bingo hall, but I think some church halls do bingo too. 222, moment by moment.
Living with Jesus, a new life
Books away this evening if you would like, and take your Bibles out instead. Turn, if you would, to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, and we're going to be looking at a few verses in Mark chapter 10. Book of Mark chapter 10. I want to spend a little while this evening on the subject of I can see you. I can see you. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse number 17. Amen. It's good to see you out. It's a bit of a change since Sunday. I think it dropped like almost 10 degrees in just a day or two. But obviously, you know the reason why. I think it's the hundreds of tons or thousands of tons of water that's fallen from the sky is just hopefully taking that heaviness out of the air and freshen it up for us a little bit. Glad you're here. Please do pray for those that will be affected by the rain. I'm sure some farmer somewhere is complaining that there was too much rain, and another complaining about how little there was, and so on and so forth. But amen. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness, and defraud not. And honour thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and said unto the disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto him, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Amen. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters and mothers, and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Verse number 21, at least the first handful of words of it, are going to be our text this evening. We're speaking on the subject of I can see you. Christy, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer, if you would, brother, please.
Lord, we thank you for this day, for every blessing that we do get. Lord, we thank you. We still have liberty in this land as well. Lord, we thank you most of all for salvation, Lord. And we just thank you in advance as well for this course of your word, Lord, that you've laid upon Mark's heart tonight to preach. Please guide and lead his thoughts this time, Lord, please. Just lay whatever you need him to say heavy on his heart, Lord, and clear all else, we pray, Lord, just for this time. Pray that you work heavy in each heart here, Lord, on the areas that you want to work on, Lord. I pray that you accomplish your will in each life here tonight. Pray, Lord, for those who would listen as well, Lord, if there be any lost that you'd save, Lord, if there be any that have a specific need, Lord, that you would meet that through, Lord, like only you can, I pray. Lord, we pray for the Porter family, especially for, Lord, a touch of comfort there, Lord, for Steve and Sam's results as well, Lord. We pray for Stan and Nina's recovery as well, Lord, please. Please work in each of these situations, Lord, we pray. Pray for every private prayer request, Lord, that you make provision in each situation, give victory to your children these days. Lord, most importantly, use us, Lord, to be a light in this world, we pray, and to share your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Well-known piece of scripture. I just want to take 6 words from verse number 21. Those words are, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and concentrating on the beholding of. Amen. If you were to read the beginning of this chapter, you would see a little bit of a study on relationships and the importance of protecting and nurturing little children, because I heard a Jesuit say that if you give me a child till he's 7, I will give you a man. And I do believe it was one of the American presidents, was it Lincoln, I can't recall, that said all he ever was or hoped to be was down to his mother, and she died, I think, before he was 10 years old. So that is how important it is to give children the best possible start in life, protecting them from evil, yes, but showing them how to deal with it as well. And that brings us right up to where we open our reading this evening, about the account of the rich young ruler. Now I want to put a proviso or give you a little bit of a caveat. It's not a sin to have money. It's not a sin to have houses, cars. That's not a sin. There's many a rich man in the Bible. There was Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man who there was no account of him ever being asked to give up all of his monies. There was Nicodemus was wealthy. He was a leader of the Jews. He had it made. There was Zacchaeus. He was very, very wealthy, and he invited the Lord to come and have supper with him. And you know what he did? Half of his goods he gave to the poor, and if he had defrauded anybody, I think he was for paying them back four times. And the Lord never said a thing to him about it. It's not a sin to have money. What the Lord is saying, of course, it's a sin whenever money has you and belongings have you, and that becomes your most important thing. And that doesn't mean the service is over. I haven't just explained away the whole of the message. I'm just giving you that. I want to have a look at the way things happened for this young man. The Word of God, made flesh, that is Jesus, was approached by this, as he is known, this rich young ruler. And it is very important that we recognize the spirit in which he approached Christ, the attitude that he had. First of all, he came running. He knew he had a need, and it was an urgent need. Something wasn't going on right in his heart, and you know yourself that, and we have heard even from our prayer requests this evening, that life can change very, very quickly. Brother Stan found that out very recently. I found it out about a year and a half ago. Very sadly, we have all had brushes with eternity whenever we weren't expecting them, brushes with tragedy. He came running because it's an urgent thing that people get right with God. And whenever he finished his running to God, he knelt in front of God. In other words, showing Christ's superiority, his humility in the face of God, and acknowledging Christ's authority, calling him good master. And as we read on, the Lord says, basically states that he's God. He says, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. And he doesn't dispute that. He came to the right man after all. And he starts talking to him with all the knowledge and the wisdom and the authority that God has and always has. And he starts off with the commandments, because the commandments are always a very good place to start off with. They are our teacher. They're not our savior. All they do is teach us that we need a savior. And just like the rich young ruler here, he says, I have persevered with the commandments for years. And they're still not doing it for me. I don't know about you, but I persevered with my church for years, and it certainly didn't do anything for me. And it wasn't until I came to the foot of the cross, just like every single soul in here tonight that's saved, that Jesus was able to work with me. You need more than the commandments. And this was pretty much what the young man, even though he didn't say it, he didn't know it. He didn't know what it was that he needed, but he knew that he needed something. I've been doing this for years, Lord, and they're not helping. But I know that you can. And this piece of scripture always grabs a hold of me, because it says, the Lord beholding him, loved him. In other words, the Lord could see him. The Lord fixed him in his attention. And in love, he saw his perspiration because he came running. He ran through the heat of the day to get there. And I think in Israel, you don't get hot days of, 80s and 90s, and then drops back to the 60s. There was a wee bit of perspiration signifying the urgency of his call to Jesus Christ. And the Lord could see his desperation as well, because he had tried everything else, and here he was at the feet of the Savior. And whenever the Lord explained to him his real need, his real difficulty, and his real solution, sadly, he could see his vexation. Because the Word of God records that when the Lord said, "Your problem is that you trust in riches," he went away sorrowing. He was vexed. What he really needed was a little bit of elevation to see over all of the things that he had in his heart and to see Christ beyond it. And that's why the Word of God actually tells us to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Because if we keep looking round, we're going to see all the things that trouble us. But if we look up, there's not too many things that belong to us that are floating up in the air, except Jesus, our Savior, our big brother, our Father. He didn't consider the other side of salvation, and that's a problem that many people have. They are so engrossed with what's going on around and about them, they can't even countenance something beyond that. Their minds and their lives are so taken up with stuff, just like this young man. He couldn't understand a life beyond repentance, a life beyond all of this. He couldn't fathom the relief or the freedom, the peace, the assurance, the eternity, the company of God. Could you imagine a young man coming to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and following around him at every turn, praising him and fighting his course? He could have been a wonderful funder of Christ's ministry here on earth at the time. He could have seen the miracles. He could have turned up at Christ's door every whip about, just like John. When Jesus said, "You are going to have to be the master of what you have," instead of it being the master of you, are you in a position to take and use all of the stuff that you have for the cause of Christ? Would you be prepared to let it go? The Lord, beholding him, loved him. He wanted the best for him. And he gave him in love the solution to his problems. As gently as he could. He never mocked him as being stuck up. He never mocked him for flaunting his money, for being weak-willed, or calling him a spiritual loser. He didn't do that. There's another word in the Bible. He never chode with him. He never gave off to him. He didn't do that. He just gave him in love the solution as gently but as forthrightly as possible. He said, "You have another God in your heart." And the same solution for every soul prior to repentance is, you have another God in your heart. And you need to get rid of him. You need to repent of him. And you need to trust in Christ as your Savior, because until that other God is kicked out, there is no room for the God of the Bible, for the Creator of the entire universe. It's a very sad story. But God treats everybody like that. In every sphere of life, from the preaching of the cross to the conviction of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ is beholding mankind. Not beholding us all and saying they're a sinful fallen creature and what they really need is the best of them taken out and the rest of them to suffer. He beholds each one of us. In the same way that this was so important and so attention grabbing that it's written down a couple of times in the Gospels. People took note as an individual came to Jesus, and that's the way he sees each one of us, and that's the way he looks at us. He doesn't say you're all adulterers. He doesn't say you're all murderers. You're all liars. He says, each one of us is. regardless of our sin, each one of us is a sinner. We're not all sinners. Each one of us is a sinner. It's not a blanket deal. It's not a buy in bulk option. It's an individual and it's very personal. And this is exactly the way God looks at us. He beholds each one of us and he knows our history. He knows the things that we have done, the places that we have been. He knows the thoughts that cross our heads and he knows what we're planning to do tomorrow. And he loves us. And for each and every person that he beholds, whether they're an alcoholic or a workaholic, a thief, a liar, a murderer, an adulterer, an idolater, or a rebel, or whichever one of the Ten Commandments is that we have chosen to break, the Lord beholds each and every one of us and loves us. The most famous verse of scriptures is quite simply John 3:16. For God so, he didn't just love us, he so loved us. He didn't just empty his pockets. He emptied his life. So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he lovingly shows each one of us what it is. That day that you came to Jesus Christ, he in love showed you himself and the great price that he paid for your sin. And he in love showed you that that sin will keep you from heaven unless you are prepared to eject it from your heart. Unless you are prepared, maybe with the last ounce of your spiritual or mental strength, to turn your back on it and turn your face toward, in the words of the song, to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because whether we know it or not, even as saved folks, we still need our Savior. Do you remember the blind man that came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you, and I'm sure he said it with a bit more urgency and a bit more effort, and he said, Lord, would you help me to see? And the Lord, I can't remember if it was one where the Lord spat and touched his eyes, or whether he just told him he would have his sight, and he says, well, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. A lot of people see people like that. They just see them as objects, as something to be used and abused and thrown away like a piece of chewing gum with all the flavor chewed out of it. And so Jesus touched him again. And he said, what do you see now? And he said, I see everything completely. I see men as men. I see souls. I see people with their own thoughts and desires and ambitions and sins to be forgiven. Do you know what? The Lord beholds all of us. Those in desperate need for a Savior. Those with a desperate greed for more of their favorite sin, even though it's killing them inch at a time. And the desperate cries for help for the soul that is just sick, sore and tired of it all and wants to have Christ as their Savior and God as their Father and the Holy Spirit as their helper and guide, that wants a new life, a clean life, a God-pleasing life, a life that's easy on the soul. But sadly, when that other way is shown, many people don't seem to be able to consider that without all of the things that they have been raised up with, that there's still a life to be had. That's why I wanted to read those last few verses. I was going to say they didn't seem to have very much to do but with the verses that we just read, but they have everything to do, because this is Jesus promising that even if you have to get rid of a sin that seems like you're cutting off your right arm or plucking out your right eye or cutting off your right leg, and I got to thinking about that, maybe you have to stop going to the places that you went to, maybe you have to stop doing the things you used to do, and maybe you have to stop looking at the things you used to look at, and you think, what am I going to do? The Lord has. Is anybody here old enough to remember the introduction to the $6 million man?
Before my time.
We can make him stronger, faster, better than before. The Lord can do that for a soul. He can make you stronger and faster and better than before. if you will put your trust in him, if you will look up over the things that are hurting you and look to the Lord Jesus Christ that loves you, that beholds you and knows exactly what you need. For the growing Christian, because let's be honest, it still applies to those of us that are saved, because there are plenty of warnings in the Bible. It happens to people about going back to your sin. There's always a temptation to go back to what we knew, to what the old man knows. The Lord lovingly beholds his children every single day. Just because you get saved doesn't mean Jesus is done with you. There are many reasons why the Bible calls us his children. Why he mentions the term born again, that pretty much means we're helpless whenever we first get saved. And that we need God's nurturing, his beholding, and his love demonstrated to us day by day. The Lord knows what it is that we need to continue forward, or should I say maybe onwards and upwards. And in love he will show us. Now notice I didn't say we're always going to be happy with what he tells us we need to do. One of the greatest things that we face these days is fear. It's not going to come up and slap us. It's not going to come up and steal our money. It's not going to break into our house and set it on fire. It's not going to run off with our kids or our wives or our children. And yet we're afraid of it. We're afraid of fear. And sometimes God says, do you know what? I put in the Bible twice so that even the pastor can remember it, and his memory's worse than ever it was after coming out of hospital. And if he can still remember it, you can certainly remember it. He said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear. I give you the spirit of adoption so that you're in my family, which means I will provision you. I give you power and love and a sound mind. Don't be afraid. Keep your eyes on me. We need to keep our eyes on. We need to realize that whatever loss it is that we suffer, when the Lord asks us to change our lives, and he's not going to force us. We can change it like an oil tanker, an inch at a time, throughout our lives. We can turn our lives around very, very gently. Or we can do like they do in the Fast and Furious. We can pull the handbrake and we can turn the wheel. And we can turn on a dime. And we can go for Jesus. It's entirely up to us. But there will be losses. There will all of a sudden be a whole new world will open up to you. There'll be new friends and old ones, just like the Bible says about old things passing away. Old friends will not want to walk with you when the life that you start to lead convicts them every day. Unless they're forgetting saved too, they're going to abandon you. The phone calls will stop, the texts will stop, the WhatsApp or FB messages, they'll stop coming in, and the invites will stop, and it'll hurt. But the Lord has something that's 100 times better. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Talks about, what does it say? Brothers, brethren and sisters, mothers and children, lands and houses. Good ones this time. For anything and everything that you thought was going to really crush you and cripple you whenever you become a Christian. God is something better. He can make you into his $6 million man if you let him. He sees us. He beholds us every day. And I want for you to know, I know you. I behold you. And I only know a little bit about you, the bits that you tell me. But God beholds you and knows everything about you. And if I ever pull a rabbit out of the hat whenever I'm standing up here in front of the church and you're thinking, how did he know that? How did he know that? He did that for me once. It changed my life completely. How did he know that? It's not me that's speaking. It's God that's speaking in me, and he has beheld you, and he knows you're having difficulties somewhere, and he is giving you a bit of help. And And if you'll forgive me for saying, Brother Steve, sometimes Brother Steve needs a wee bit of a hand up out of a chair. Spiritually speaking, we all need a wee bit of a hand up out of the chair from time to time. And God is that hand, and you'd be a fool not to take it. Whenever he sticks his hand out to help you, take it. Whenever you hear, does anyone here ever get the Sally rod when they were little? Did you ever hear the wee shh, shh, whenever the rod came in and you knew, this is going to hurt. In fact, it's not going to hurt for about 4 or 5 seconds, and then it's going to feel like somebody set my backside on fire. The Bible says too, if you hear that sound coming in spiritually speaking, pull close to the Lord. Pull close. The farther you are away from that Sally rod, the quicker the end of that Sally rod's going. But if you come in close, it's not going that fast. Still going to hurt. The aim is to learn a lesson. But the Lord, beholding you, loves you. And he wants the best for you. If you need to be straightened out and pointed in a different direction, don't do what I used to do and have a wee hissy fit to yourself and a temper tantrum and just say, well, Lord, that hurt a bit. But I know that you love me, and I take it we're all adult to realize that sometimes we need a wee bit of straightening out. And I pray we're all humble enough to realize that we only know a very tiny fraction of what's going on in this world, but we trust in the God that knows every single thing that's going on, every single moment of every single day. Even now in this life, even now, even as we sit here, God is beholding you. And it may not be something that you hear in the service. It might be something that the Lord's been speaking to you about for a bit. Take him at his word. Don't be like the rich young ruler. His Christian walk stopped there. And that was it. If he even indeed was a Christian. And you'll forgive me if I use the term slightly out of time. He was a bit of a believer, but he didn't believe enough. He believed enough to say that he followed the commandments, but he didn't believe enough to follow the Lord that gave the commandments. And God doesn't want that for anybody. You don't know what God has in store for you because you don't know who's watching you, and you and your obedience could make the difference between heaven and hell, or hell and heaven, in somebody's life just by obeying Jesus. But I want for you to know, even as you go, and even sometimes if it seems very lonely where you are. Remember Peter stepping out into the water from the boat? None of the other disciples called out to Jesus to go to him in the water. He was on his own. But Jesus was beholding him. And Jesus loved him. Bear that in mind. When the Lord gives you something, take out and grab a hold of it with both your hands and hold on to it. If that means you have to drop something else, drop it. I can guarantee you that the thing that God has given to you is far more valuable than anything you're already holding. Hundreds of times more valuable. And as you hold on to that, don't be looking around you. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. And do what he says to do. Keep them there. For he has us in the palm of his hand. And no man can pluck us out. And he loves us so much, he'll never ever take his eyes off you. Amen. I'm stopping there. I want to thank you for your good time and attention this evening. God bless you. Amen. We have to sing Turn Your Eyes on Jesus after that. What's that, 264, is it? 264, I think it is. And if you're able, we'll... Nope, that's not it. That's Once for All. 261, only a couple out. There you go. If you're able, let's stand as we sing. If you're not, just... keep your seat, but make the best, most joyful noise you can. Amen. Indeed, for your good attention this evening. Safe journeys home, everybody, and don't forget those that need a wee hand from heaven on their shoulder helping them at this time. Let's be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your presence, for this little step aside from the world, and we pray that you would bless the service to us this evening. Work in our hearts and minds, just to remind us how much you love us and Lord, how much you want for us. Lord, for those that have suffered loss, I pray your good hand upon them. Please comfort and lift, and Lord, open their understanding of scriptures and save souls and edify. Lord, you know all of our needs. Pray just especially for Stan, for Nina, for the Porter family at this time, and for Esther and Tina too. Lord, and all of those that, Lord, you know all of our needs. Bless us and watch over us. And I pray you, Lord, journey and mercies home for all those that are traveling, which is all of us. But we pray most of all that your will would be done. Thank you for your loving us and for your long suffering and patience with us, Lord. And Father, we leave these things at your feet. Pray that you would grant them according to your will, Lord. We love you and thank you. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you again. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. We are dismissed.